Bung Bung. ClayMcMathComedy.com is where you can find all of the tickets to all of my shows. So get to ClayMcMathComedy.com. We have got a fantastic show coming up at the end of August in Kangaroo Island. So for anybody living out on the island listening to my voice right now, jump onto ClayMcMathComedy.com and get yourself some tickets to a killer show. We have been selling out all over the state, and we want to keep this trend happening. So get on there and buy your tickets. That is selling fast. It's about halfway sold already. So ClayMcMathComedy.com for all of my tickets and all of the podcast merch. Don't forget that if you share the show and prove it, so send us a screenshot or whatever it is of you sharing the show, then you enter the draw, a monthly draw, to win some free merch from the Welcome to the Potty podcast. Free Welcome to the Potty podcast merch. So just share the show and that will help us out. That is fantastic. And Welcome to the Potty is, of course, brought to you by Bung Bung Coffee, the best coffee that you can get, the best dark roast that's ever been developed. It's South American coffee from Honduras, Brazil, Peru, and Colombia. And man, you grind it down and you can put it in anything. You can put it in your herbal teas. You can put it in a Coke. You can put it in a juice. You can put it in just cold milk, and it's going to enhance all of that. And, you know, give it to your kids. Give it to people with heart problems. It is not going to hurt them. Of course, it is going to change your life. It is going to turn you into something that you never thought that you could become. It is going to make you surround yourself with people that will enhance your decision-making process. It'll put more money in your pocket. This stuff is insatiable, incredible, indescribable. How can you not be drinking this? I don't even know how. There's people out there that don't drink coffee, and then there's people out there that drink coffee and don't even know about Bung Bung Coffee. Because the only reason that you wouldn't be drinking Bung Bung Coffee is because you haven't tried it yet. Get into Bung Bung Coffee at bungbungcoffee.com, bungbungcoffee.com. Enter promo code POTTY, P-O-D-D-Y, for 15% off all orders. That is 15% off all orders at bungbungcoffee.com.
We don't recommend that you give Bung Bung Coffee to any children, old people, people with heart conditions, or put it in anything like juice, milk, teas, or anything like that. That would be disgusting.
Let's start the show.
Welcome to the party. Best show on the internet. Ask anybody. You know it's easy money. Sit back, relax, get your headphones, everybody. Welcome to the party. Blackout in the booth. Every episode's a party. We go hard like Ricky Bobby. Tell a friend to tell a friend. This is Welcome to the Party.
Welcome to the party, Bung Bung. It's your man Claytron, aka the Big Boss Man, aka the Clumsy Jeweler, because I'm always dropping gems, aka the Milkman, because I always deliver, aka the PhD of podcasting, the Magnum PI of podcasting, the Bruce Springsteen of podcasting, because I'm the boss of this SHIT, baby. Yes. Man, I think it would be pretty interesting if me and Bruce Springsteen managed to have a boss off somehow. Because, you know, I've been the boss for a long time, not probably as long as him. But I would say that I'm the boss. I'm the real boss. I don't know what a boss off would entail. I don't know if we both get a team of people to do things and we manage them, or we smoke a fat stogie and see who smokes it better or quicker or more impressively. I don't know if maybe we both get behind a grill, behind a barbecue, and we cook some meat up. We cook some real, like a real boss feed up, and find out who the boss is that way. But Bruce Springsteen, if you're listening, and I know you are, I'd love to have boss off with you, figure out who the real boss is. I'm quite confident that it's me. I've been the boss as long as I can remember. I was the boss before I had the nickname the boss. I've been bossing people around. I've been bossing around teammates, parents, friends, enemies, family, You know, I'm a real dictator. I'm a real, you know, I'm a cross between a between genitals and an actual potato. I'm a dictator, man. And it's got to be that way sometimes. It's got to be my way or the highway, you know. And I don't think Bruce Springsteen even wrote that song, dude. I think he did one called, like, you know, Born in the USA. And that's only relatable to people in one country. Me, I'm relatable to people in at least 14 countries, man. 14 of them things. And that's just, you know, that's just what data says to me. You know, why would someone from, you know, the Republic of Congo listen to Born in the USA? The Democratic Republic of Congo. And that's a country. And, you know, that's about as far as my knowledge stretches. But I'm just saying that I could be the boss in a boss off against Bruce Springsteen. Let's make it happen. We got no board man today. Honestly, that is because he's wheeling and dealing for the Welcome to the Potty podcast. He's out. We got invited or offered a deal with Netflix directly from Ted Sarandos. He does not want to negotiate with what he called terrorists, but he meant writers and actors in the strikes at the moment. He said he does not want to negotiate. He wants to use AI as much as possible. He does not want to pay writers, and he wants our content on Netflix. And Boardman is away negotiating that deal with Ted Sarandos right now. So he won't be here this week. So I watched a bunch of stuff to go through with you guys without him, which he hasn't seen. So he doesn't need to, you know, sit through it if he doesn't want to. But when he hears about some of this, he is going to want to sit through it, because we got some bangers for you today. But shout out to Ted Sarandos. Shout out to Netflix. Shout out to the writers. Shout out to the actors, man. You know, I'm on your side too. Like, will I take the deal that has been put on the table by Ted Sarandos? It's likely, yeah. It's likely, because I need to feed my family. But do I believe in what you guys are striking for? Absolutely. I don't think I want to watch content that's basically just made up of artificial intelligence. That would basically be like watching, you know, F Boy Island or MILF Island or Love Island, or just reality TV shows on an island. They should do one that's like Selling Sunset, but it's on an island and there's only like three properties and none of them are even on the market. So mostly they just knock on the doors and try and make them put their houses on the market, and they get the door slammed in their face. That is the type of crap that's going to be on TV if they're not able to negotiate a deal with writers, because all they're going to be able to do is plug in some really asinine ideas into artificial intelligence to create these TV shows and or scripts. And I mean, there are bad scripts written by human beings. And if you want a really bad script, you put it into AI, man, and they'll come up with something horrific, I'm sure, man. So yeah, I want there to be a resolution, but I'm not in the Screen Actors Guild. You know, I'm not in the Writers Guild of America, so I'm not on strike. So if Ted Sarandos comes to me and puts money on the table, what choice do I have? I don't have a dog in this fight, you know, no Michael Vick. But I'm just saying, like, Ted Sarandos comes knocking, I'm answering that MFA. You understand me? So keep your eyes peeled. We're going to be probably exclusive to Netflix in a matter of minutes. Shit, man. It's I just swore already. We got some things to run through real quick, because I just want to give a shout out to my girlfriend. She's a gangster. She's a straight up gangster, man, because she dude, we live on a corner of like a side street and a busy street. It's not like a main road, but it's a main thoroughfare, I would call it. And she was out there one day. I forget what she was doing, but she saw somebody sitting out the front in their car, open the car door and drop out like a Hungry Jack's bag just out on the street. Rach walks up to the car, okay, and goes, motherfucker winds down his window, and Rach is like, I hope you're going to put that in a bin.
Got him. Got him.
That is insanity. I mean, like, would I? Probably not. I would probably never. But Rach goes up, knocks on the window, and tells them, like, hey, you're going to put this in a bin. She didn't say it like that. She said, I hope you're going to put this in a bin. She didn't ask a question, okay? She didn't ask a question. She said, I hope you're going to put that in a bin. And they said, oh, there's no council bins around here. And Rachel says, I don't care. There's no excuse for littering.
Sensational.
And that's my bitch, man. That's my bitch right there, dude. She's out in these streets, literally cleaning up the streets. You know, me and her, we work in different ways. She goes out and she bullies motherfuckers into picking up their litter.
I don't give a fuck.
Me, I go out with my strap, and if you talk shit about my dog, I pull the trigger. Do you understand me? And that is how we clean up the neighborhood. And then Rach yells at me and tells me to dispose of the body accordingly. Don't just leave it in the street like some type of litter bug. Okay? So that was like, shout out to Rach for, you know, cleaning up this neighborhood. That was lit. That was crazy. I've been going through it. Not like mentally, like, you know, I usually come here and let you guys know how I'm feeling when it's going bad and all that. But it hasn't been like that. It's been a grind to just like, I've got some energy vampires in my life, man. Effing draining the energy from me, draining it. And it's difficult to navigate, man, because you need to be careful who you surround yourself with. You want to surround yourself with people who are going to inspire you, motivate you, assist you, help you build, offer support, offer guidance. But sometimes, dude, just offer an ear or a shoulder. You know what I'm saying? And there's a lot of like jokes about when women come home to their partner and they're talking about Stacey or whatever, and all they want to do is bitch. They don't want their man to offer advice, but men are always trying to fix stuff, so they try to offer advice, and it frustrates the woman more, right? And it's like this kind of sexist trope. But like, it's not that type of thing doesn't only relate to women, man. Like, sometimes I just want to be heard. You know, I don't want you to offer me advice or an opinion. You know, sometimes I want you to shut the front door and listen to what I've got to say and just say, that sucks. You know, don't offer me advice. Or it doesn't even have to be that sucks. It can be like, that's really awesome. Wow, I can't believe XYZ happened to you. Congratulations. Rather than, okay, you know what could make that even better? This. Okay, how about congratulations, you MF-er? Anyway, you got to be more conscious. You got to be like, We are very intrinsic beings, and we're selfish as a matter of survival. You got to be selfish to survive. You got to get yours, eat or be eaten, dog eat dog, you know, all that corny shit. But like you also got it. We do live in a society, you know, people talk about the importance of family, of the village, of the tribe, all of that. You got to have some type of empathy and awareness of your surroundings. You cannot just be internal all the time. You got to be able to understand that not everybody thinks like you. If you're a Catholic, they don't really door knock, do they? Let's talk Mormons, or Jehovah's Witness. You come and knock on the door and start selling your religion to me because you've got the answers, and the way you live is the way that everyone should live, and you get to tell people that, you get to sell that. I don't want that. I ain't selling what you're buying, and that's people want to, like, they work like that with things that's not religion, with things that's like money, you know. Like you don't own a house? What do you invest in? What do you do? Nigga, I invest in myself. You understand me? I don't have Bitcoin. Yeah, I don't have Apple stocks, okay? But I got some shit in the pipeline, all right? Maybe it's not a public company, but we're making moves. I don't want your advice. If I don't ask for your advice, don't give it to me. You need to be aware that some people aren't where you're at. And that doesn't mean financially. It means like philosophically. Some people just aren't going to be where you're at. And it doesn't mean that they've got a different opinion of like life and respect and morality. It just means like, we're not all the same. We're not all thinking the same, and we don't have to, man. Okay? And there's been a lot of that in my life lately. People just jamming their ideologies down my throat. And like, you know, in another world, I mean, you know, I'd choke them out. You know, in the movies, how they get that little string, they're like, zip, and then they get you from behind, and they're just like, shh, shh, shh. It's what I want to do when you start selling me on shit I don't want to be sold on. But that's just been happening, bro. Everywhere I go, I've been getting real disappointed in people that are in my life, man. People that you're supposed to like trust and respect and admire and that are meant to understand you and you them, right? And that's what turns me off, you know, because I respect where they are and what they're doing, and I let them do it, and I don't talk them out of it, or I don't try to change them into. Oh, you know, you're doing this. You know, you're over there selling printers. You should come over here and, you know, do jokes with me. Oh, man, you should, bro, you're selling printers? You should join the Welcome to the Potty crew and help me grow my thing. Nah, dude, I'm just going to let you do you. You know, unless I fundamentally disagree with it or think that something bad's going to happen to you, you're unsafe, I think you're going to lose it. I think you're going to lose your ass on this one, dude. I would pull out, okay? And I wouldn't offer that either without legit evidence. I wouldn't say, like, if someone's like, yeah, dude, I'm investing in, you know, this new pie maker, and all you literally throw all the ingredients in it, apples, sugar, you know, flour, and it spits a pie out the other end of it. And if I just don't understand how a pie comes out the other end of this machine, I don't just say, don't do it, bro, it sounds bad. But if I know that there's a flaw in the technology, and I've seen evidence to suggest this, and I can provide that evidence, I will do so to get them offer that terrible idea. It actually kind of sounds like a good idea. And like, if anybody has that, the ability to create that, like, please do. And I expect nothing in return, but like, legit, if you can just pour something down a funnel and it creates an apple pie, bro, I'm in there. But like, if I think that's a bad idea and I've got the evidence, I'll provide it to you. And I don't mean, when I say evidence, I mean legit evidence. I don't mean anecdotal evidence. I don't mean that you just like heard one guy successfully did this thing. I mean like real numbers with a real sample size, like legit evidence. Anecdotal evidence means you, an anecdote is a story. So when you say anecdotal evidence, you're saying, I once heard of a guy that's, you know, survived getting struck by lightning. And it's like, yeah, but evidence says that that shit's going to kill you, Duke. You feel me? Anecdotal evidence ain't shit. But people been draining me, bro. Draining me. And not in the good way like I used to when I was, you know, 22. Used to get drained like crazy, bro. But now I'm getting drained mentally and it sucks. Because I got shit to focus on. I got jokes to write, podcasts to produce, kids to feed, you know, girlfriends to love. I got shit going on and you want to just drain me, Duke? Sort it out, man. Speaking of drained, by the way, I did a walk with my dogs the other day, 5 kilometers. That doesn't sound like much. I know people do 5K runs all the time. I did a 5K walk. This was yesterday, I believe. And now my shins are tight. And I don't mean shin splints because that hurts. Like just muscle tightness in my shins. Canes, bro. It canes. All I want to do is stretch my shins out. So I need to get back into exercise. I'm tired of being fat. I'm tired of using CGI to skinny myself down on these episodes. You guys are probably like, oh, you know, he probably only weighs like maximum like 120 or whatever. Dude, I look like Brendan Fraser in the whale, but I really get CGI to sort that out every single week. I do apologize that no episode came out last week. But like I said, like I'm getting drained. Not in the good way. And it's been a busy week. I've had gigs and stuff. Gigs went well, kinda. Quiet rooms, man, quiet rooms. But I got to work on some material. Like it's kind of old material I've been doing, but just tweaking it ever so slightly, just trying to make it, you know, what it is. I don't have a special, so I don't consider my material to be burned. Just yet, you know, I haven't even like really gone on a full tour. We've been touring South Australia, but no one in Melbourne's heard my shit. You know, Brisbane, that, you know, I've been there for 1 week. If I go back there and I do 10 shows, like maybe 3 people will see me again. You know, like I don't consider my material to be burned just yet. So I'm still working on the same stuff. I got new stuff, but I'm working on the same stuff still. I want to maximize my whole situation. But yeah, the gigs went fine, man. I wouldn't say I killed. I wouldn't say I bombed. I just did it. It went fine. Got some more stuff coming up. Obviously, go to claymcmouthcomedy.com to have a look at that. My kid is on one, bro. And I just mean today. He, you know, he's a sponge. He's picking up every word that everyone says. Banana, you know, mandarin, you know, lots of fruits. But he knows my name is Clay. And I came in here to start the podcast and I didn't quite have my headphones on yet so I could hear some yelling in the hallway. And this kid's looking for me and he's yelling out Clay. And I had to go out there and have a stern word with him. And I was like, look, you're going to address me as daddy, you know, no home loans. I'm not going to be Clay. Not now, not never. I'm going to be daddy. And then when you think you're too cool for that, I'm going to be dad. And if you never think you're too cool for it, I'll let you know when it's going to be dad. Because I'm not going to let, you know, a 14-year-old boy call me daddy neither. But it's not, I tell you what, it's not going to be Clay. But, and he was like, yeah, he probably agreed. He didn't really say much. I think he said Clay actually straight after. But yeah, man, it's been lit. That's kind of a lie, isn't it? Like, I got sick as well. The week that the whale episode released, got sick, had a week off work, didn't test for anything, but I think it was just a cold, but I just wasn't handling it really. I think I was stressed out. I think I was stressed out and I let my immune system get down. But I got this massive water bottle and I've just been really getting hydrated, bro, the last 2 weeks. And you can put Bung Bung Coffee in that, BUNGBUNGCoffee.com, promo code POTTY for 15% off. But yeah, man, I think we're there. Shout out to Bruce Springsteen. I can't wait to have a boss off with you. We're going to jump into some Clay's MFing reviews.
Comedy, action, or horror? Will this movie win an Oscar? Set design, directing, acting like Tinger costumes. This segment is Clay's Reviews.
All right, man. I got three for you. Three. And none of these are Boss Man watched. None of these are Board Man watched. So we've still got one. Me and Boardman are going to jump in and do that next week. But I watched this movie called The Cobbler. It's on Netflix. It's Adam Sandler. And he's a cobbler or a shoe fixer or a shoemaker. He's got a magic, I don't know what it's called, like a magic thing that fixes shoes. I don't know, stitcher. He's got a magic stitcher that whenever he fixes someone's shoes, if he tries them on, he's like a size 10 and a half. If he tries the shoes on, he becomes that person. And he gets to literally spend a day in their shoes. Or, well, not even a day, like however long he wears the shoes for. And it was so nuts, man, because it was this movie about walking in other people's shoes, but it's still stuck to stereotypes. And to me, man, that's nuts. But it's so hilarious. Like, if that's what he meant to do, if he did that as a joke, as like, if he was in the writer's room and he was like, let's do a movie about spending walking a mile in other people's shoes, and like, don't judge a book by its cover or whatever. But then we just do it and it's just all stereotypes. That's hilarious if that was the idea. But my gut tells me it was like a failed execution of the thing. But I enjoyed it so much just on the off chance that the joke was to just like go stereotypes. Like Method Man's in it. Method Man's like a major part. Shout out to the Woo. But like... yeah, he wears Method Man's shoes and Method Man's like this gangster. And it's like, what? Are we not trying to, is the message not like, don't do this? Man, hilarious. It, just that idea alone was hilarious. The ending, the like little twist was mad predictable, but also like, but also didn't make sense. Like I got why they would like make it like, why the twist was the twist, but like also there was like a lifetime in between like this knowledge and like why it couldn't have been given before that. I do not know. So that was crazy. Anyway, 5 out of 10, man. 5 out of 10 for that nutty shit. But it's crazy because, walking a mile in other people's shoes was like the theme. And that, like I just talked about before jumping into this, that's what I really like related to this week in watching that, is just like people are draining me, man. They've got no idea what's going on in my life, and they're like selfishly offering advice, opinions, whatever. Just that kind of. I get trying to help. I get trying to help or whatever, but like thinking you know everything, thinking that whatever you got, whatever you know, whatever you believe is better or wiser or more lucrative than what I got or what I know or what I believe. I'm not into that, man. And that's what I felt watching The Cobbler, 5 out of 10. I don't remember what snack I was eating when I watched The Cobbler either. I do remember what I was eating when I watched Barbie. Yes, I saw it. I saw it. And at the theater I saw it at, Piccadilly, Wallace Piccadilly, they had like a cocktail special there. So there was a Malibu Barbie cocktail. I think it was like some type of pink, I don't know, like a pina colada or something. It wasn't great. It wasn't great. They, you know, they're not bartenders. They're not like cocticians or whatever that, you know, that sounds kind of homoerotic, but a mixologist is what I meant. Coctician is hilarious though. So I had this Malibu Barbie cocktail that was gross, and I had popcorn, which of course was delicious. Popcorn at theaters is another level to popcorn at home. You cannot get your popcorn to that level. So just be aware that that buttery and salty goodness was going down a treat. The Barbie movie, man, let's start here. Set design, delicious. They made this. It is not CGI. They made this set. It looked like a you know, a Barbie playhouse, a Barbie playset, like the Barbie world was unreal. The set design was crazy, and maybe you'd call the set design a 10 out of 10. Okay, same with costume. Costume was perfect. I don't know that they could have nailed it any further than what they did. So those two aspects of this film are like a double plus. You know, then you look at Margot Robbie. Name someone else that could have been Barbie, man. Like, I can't see it. You know, maybe like Gwyneth Paltrow back in the day when she was younger, but she's not younger. You know, Nicole Kidman, I actually think like genetically she is like 50% plastic, I believe. So maybe Nicole Kidman, but she's not even a natural blonde. I don't even know if Margot Robbie is, but dude, like, I mean, yeah, perfect casting. I think they were talking about doing this with Amy Schumer, which doesn't surprise me with the narrative of this film, which we will get into. You do a Barbie movie with Amy Schumer and it bombs, okay? And yes, they had a huge opening weekend. I still think that after this, it dies off pretty significantly. Yeah, you've got a built-in fan base. Yeah, you spent $150 million on marketing. But this movie is, it's just not it, man. And I've gone and given it on paper here, and I'm not going to give it the score that I've written here because I'm scared people are going to call me a misogynist, which I am not, okay? Yeah, I think AFLW has a ways to go before they get paid the same as AFL players, okay? I don't even think the West Coast Eagles should get paid the same as AFL players, okay? I don't think that this Tasmanian team, I don't think the league is ready for a Tasmanian team. If you look around the country and you watch people playing in the, you know, the VFL or SANFL or whatever the league below AFL is, those games are so much slower, so much less skill, you know, than the AFL, that I just don't think there's enough talent to fill a full another roster when you've already got the West Coast Eagles stinking up the field week after week. And by the way, North Melbourne just looking horrific week after week after week. Why would you enter a new team in? Yes, I think that there's not enough people sitting in WNBA games, okay? But like you can't get paid You are comparing your product as if it's the same product, and it's not. Yes, it's the same game. It is a different product. Okay? That is about as far as my misogyny goes, and I just don't think it's a disrespect to women. Okay? I know we like to turn things into blanket statements like that, but it's nothing against women. It's against the ideology that because it's the same sport, you should be getting paid the same. All right? Business is business. Not every CEO gets paid the same. Not every worker gets paid the same. This is just what it is, okay? You can't have like a, you know, I don't even know the equivalent in business, okay? All I know is market share. If you're Margot Robbie, you're going to put bums in seats, okay? People are going to go and see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood because you're attached to it. People are going to see Barbie because you're attached to it. People are going to go and see Suicide Squad because you're attached to it, okay? If you're Amy Schumer, you don't quite hit the box office as hard. So you cannot expect as Amy Schumer to get the same amount of money as one, Margot Robbie, or two, certainly not Matt Damon. You don't just get equal pay because you got the same job. There is a reason people are buying tickets because of certain people's names. And that is what I'm saying. NBA games sell out night after night after night. WNBA players playing empty gyms night after night after night. No, they shouldn't be getting the same amount of money. Should they be getting jersey sales? Yes, they should. Okay? AFLW is not ready to be getting the same money as AFL. That's all I'm saying. They've been playing for 4 months. It's not the same. Okay? It's a different product. So, yes, I've given this movie a larger score than it actually deserves on paper because I'm nervous people are going to be like, oh, you just hate women. Hey, no, I hate shit movies, okay? Now, it had some okay gags in it. This movie was so safe, it was really boring, okay? It had some gags that did make me laugh out loud. Congratulations. But It was playing it safe. It was all corporate-y. It was pandering to a female audience, which is fine. It's for females. This movie's not for me, by the way. It's not made for me. But the gender role reversal, okay, the gender stereotype role reversal, sorry, was a very cool take. So in Barbie world, all the women are so powerful, like all the women are in the Supreme Court and the president and, you know, this, that, like doctors and lawyers, blah, 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 blah. And all the men are just beach guys that don't do anything and they just look good and their whole existence is to impress the Barbies, right? I get that. That's cool. That's a funny little swap. And then they go to the real world and they realize that the real world is completely and utterly reversed, but all the guys in the real world are absolute retards. And, you know, that's fine. They can't even open doors for themselves and all of that, which, yeah, it's so funny. And, you know, there's a narrator. I think it's who's that dope actress, you know, the best one. What's her freaking name? She's the GOAT. She's like the GOAT actress. She was in Meryl Streep. She narrates it and she's like, oh, you know, she sarcastically says like, you know, everything's all equal now between men and women. And, you know, we've worked so hard and we got there. I can't remember the exact quotes, but like it was pretty cringe the way that was said. And I get it. I do get it that, I don't know. I'm not I'm not a woman. You know, see, look, I'm trying to pander so I don't get called out. I'm not a woman, so I don't, there's no way that I can grasp the exact difficulties of what it is to be a woman in the world, in the workplace, you know, in relationships, whatever. But the way it was portrayed was, it was, I don't even know. I feel so uncomfortable right now, man. I feel really uncomfortable. I feel like this film has set people up, men specifically, not to be able to give their feedback because they'll get called misogynistic or at the very minimum, you don't understand, right? And like I said when I reviewed Bros, which was the gay rom-com, when you shove it down people's throats so hard, it just doesn't come off as funny as you want it to, because your message is, the message of, you know, women having it hard and, you know, men getting stuff gifted to them and women having to work harder and all of that is, it's a good message. It's a good message. It's a good, it's something that people probably need to be, not probably, it's something that people need to be aware of. In a movie called Barbie, okay, it's a bit much. Barbie's supposed to be, it's supposed to be fun, man. And it was, parts of it were. But they were going so crazy with it. Like it was supposed to be, well, I don't know what it was supposed to be, but I thought it was going to be, and maybe I'm the idiot, you know, because all guys are dumb idiot retards that can't think for themselves and are closed-minded and don't understand anything with any substance, okay? So I thought it was going to be more fun than this. And I thought it was going, I knew it was going to explore that gender role reversal. Like it was kind of obvious that was going to happen. Like they weren't going to make a Barbie movie and make Barbie a freaking idiot, you know? And I, you know, they Legally Blonde did the same thing. But it was just empowering women. Like it was like a stereotype left turn. This blonde girl that wears pink all the time is a lawyer and she smashes it. And that's what I thought this was going to be. I thought it was going to be like Barbie. She can't figure out her identity. She doesn't know what she wants to do. She can't find her direction. And she tries all these different jobs. She tries to be a lawyer. She tries to be a doctor. And she tries to be a housekeeper. She tries to be a, I don't know, casino manager. She tries to be a figure skater. She tries to be a security guard, right? And she just can't figure out what it is she wants to do. But she's successful at all of these things. And so the message would be like, you literally, little girls, you can be anything you want. You can be 10 things if you want. You don't have to stick in a box like a Barbie doll, right? Is that insane? They barely mentioned the box. And when they mentioned the box, it was like more of a prison, I suppose. It was to get her out of the real world and back into Barbie world. The analogy's there. The analogy's right there. You don't put yourself in a box. You know, you can be anything. You can be, you know, you can be a Mexican drug lord if you want. You know. Or you can be a plumber, or you can be a police officer, or a detective, or a school teacher, or a scientist, or a race car driver, or a bricklayer, or a psychologist, right? Or a podcaster. You can be that. Don't put yourself in a box. So it was so easy. It was right there, but instead they just wanted to focus on men being idiots and stupid and dum-dums and how hard it is to be a woman because you have to be a mother, but you can't be a guy's mother, but you have to relate to them as a mother because men all love their mothers, but you can't be their mother. And it's you can't be assertive because it comes off as aggressive and crazy and emotional. But you have to be emotional because you're a woman. You have to be the person that's going to be emotional in the situation, but don't be too emotional. And a big speech about that, right? And it was so fucking like we are victims. Our whole thing is just victimhood. And I've said this before too. I don't like a black movie that does this. This isn't just about, you know, the gay rom-com or the lady Barbie movie. I don't want a black movie that's just like, oh, it's so hard being black, you don't understand. You know, yes, a lot of my comedy is about race, but I'm not crying about it. I'm actually laughing about it. That's why it's comedy. Yes, this was, you know, they were laughing about it, but it was more than that in this Barbie movie, man. It was fucking just wah, wah, wah. And I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say wah, 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 okay? But that's what it got to, especially just that one speech was crazy. It was, you know, the president of Barbie World was a black Barbie, which was, you know, I couldn't tell, at that point my head almost exploded. I couldn't tell whether they were trying to make a point about women being the president or black people being the president, or that a black woman hasn't been president yet, or that, like, how, I don't know. But there's already been a black president, so I was like, you should have made that a Mexican woman. Especially with all the, like, immigration stuff over there and, like, border control and build a wall. Why wouldn't you make it a Mexican president? There's already been a black one. Make it Hispanic or Latinx. I'm sure you would have said Latinx instead of Latina, right? Because you motherfuckers are so woke, dude. It's nuts. Shit sucked, man. This shit sucked. There was one good joke that had... No, not one. There was a couple good jokes. Shit sucked, though, bro. Don't see it, man. Or woman. Don't see it. I've written 6 down here. I've written 6 because I was afraid to speak my mind. And I saw it with mostly women. I saw it with housemate Dan, not to be confused with roommate Dan. And I've gone and written down a 6 here. And I said to the girls when they asked, oh, what would you give it? I said 7. And I lied to them. And then I wrote down 6. And I lied to myself. It sucked, man. 3. I'm halving my score. 3 out of 10 for Barbie. Fucking thing. Last one before we get out of here. This is an absolute must. Okay, I'm going there right now before I even name the thing. It's on Apple TV. It's called Hijack. Idris Elba in a plane that gets hijacked. It's like Luther on a plane. I mean, Samuel L. Jackson should have been cast in this. Just for the fact that he could have said, will someone go and get Luther from the front of that motherfucking plane? You know what I'm saying? Like, Luther on a plane. And if you haven't seen Luther, you got to see Luther. But this was Luther on a plane. It was wild. Let me break this down for you real quick. It's not finished yet. It comes out every Wednesday on Apple TV. I only discovered it this week. And we watched 5 episodes in a row on one night and didn't get to sleep until 1 o'clock in the morning because we could not, like, there was 5 episodes out. We smashed all 5 of those in one night. 1 o'clock in the morning, we finish up. Then the next one came out on Wednesday and we watched episode 6. I think there's 6 out at the moment. Dude, it was incredible. Okay, I haven't done that in such a long time. Anyway, this guy, Luther, but his name's actually Sam Nelson and he's played by Idris Elba. He's like some type of business negotiator. So he goes in, he's the last conversation they have when they're negotiating business things, right? And he's going on a plane and the plane that he's on gets hijacked and he uses his skill set to work with the hijackers, right? And this is a meticulously planned, highly organized group of people who are hijacking this plane. And I just don't understand if you've gone through these lengths to get to this hijacking and get all this shit happening, why you would be listening to this random dude on a plane. Okay, so that's the first thing that I thought was nuts. And two, why the protagonist is just a business negotiator? Is it just because they didn't want him to like have a skill set of fighting and stuff, because then it would just turn into him overpowering them? I don't know, but like, to be a business negotiator, like, that's his job. He couldn't even be like a hostage negotiator or like a, like some type of, like, imagine if he was like a horse whisperer, dude, and he used his horse whispering abilities to whisper to these fucking terrorists, man. Now that would be lit. But he's just a business negotiator. I thought that was crazy. He's got this crazy level of like analytical and like deductive reasoning skills, right? You can see him like thinking and stuff in this movie, TV show. But he's just a business negotiator. Like, he would legitimately be Luther. He would be a detective in real life. You wouldn't have this skill set. And I mean, yeah, business negotiators probably get more money than detectives, so maybe I'm wrong. But if I had this skill set, I'd be solving crimes, dude. Doesn't that sound like more fun than negotiating deals? I don't know, man. Some people just like bread. The twists and the cliffhangers are epic. Like I said, we knocked five episodes out in one night, stayed up to 1 a.m. on a work night because, and, you know, with a kid. Like, this is a must-see. This is must-see TV. Shout out to Apple. You're not going to come up with anything as good as this while, you know, while the writers are on strike. And that's, I mean, that is why Ted Sarandos has put money on the table for the Welcome to the Potty podcast to go and join Netflix. They are looking to be the new YouTube. They do not want scripted content anymore. They want Welcome to the Potty out there. I don't know what the show will be on Netflix because there'll be nothing for us to review anymore. I guess we'll just review, like, go through the archives and do every movie from the first movie ever written to the last movie ever written, because there will be a last movie ever written by man anyway. Or woman. Hijack, 8 out of 10. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. If I was on a plane that was getting hijacked, dude, I'd be so pathetic. I wouldn't say a word and I'd cry. I'd sit there and cry, and maybe I'd be too scared to ask to go to the toilet and I'd shit my pants. I'd shit my pants right there and ruin the trip for everyone. And you're saying, Clay, don't you think the trip's already been ruined if the plane's been hijacked? No. This is a situation which I don't believe is suicide bombers, okay? So I don't think the trip's been ruined. I think we're still going to get somewhere. We can, you know, we can have a holiday wherever we get. If we're not going to our location of choice, we'll just make do when we get there, but at least we'll get there. But that fat black guy fucking shat his pants, so that's a pretty shit start to our trip. You know, that'd be the first fucking thing I'd say. I wouldn't say my plane got hijacked. How's your trip going? Like, when did you land? Oh, yesterday? Oh, wow, how's your trip so far? Oh, well, this guy shit his pants on our flight. And Rachel would be like, our flight also got hijacked. And I'd be like, yeah, well, we made it. We made it, but this guy shit his pants. Ruined my whole day. Oh, man. Got a few messages and emails this week. This one's coming in from Sam. Says, hey boss man, I'm new to stand up and wondering what's the difference between dark humor and shock humor. Aren't they just the same thing? I would say no, Sam, they're not the same thing, you fucking stupid cunt. What are you, a man? Stupid man that knows nothing? Let me tell you something. Dark humor and shock humor are very different things. Dark humor is humor about dark situations. So I would say if you make a joke about the Holocaust, right, that'd be dark humor. If you make jokes about babies dying, that's dark humor. Shock humor is just saying something shocking right, as a button, which people laugh at the shock. So you're not actually crafting a joke. You're just saying like, oh man, like my podcast isn't doing too well because you know, I shit out a dead baby last night. It doesn't even make sense, right? Well, that was a terrible example, but do you know what I'm saying? It's not a joke about the Holocaust. Is like it's about the Holocaust, first of all. It's not just a, if I'm talking about a sandwich, right? I make a joke about a sandwich and it had nothing in it. It was thinner than a Holocaust survivor or something like that. That's shock humor because you're just saying that about an inanimate object and it's not actually a well-crafted joke. It's not thought out. Dark comedy is you're still putting in work. Shock comedy is just saying shocking shit for a reaction. Right? I think I nailed it. This one's coming in from Paul. What sex advice would you give your younger self if you could travel back in time? Well, dude, if I could travel back in time, I'll go all the way back to my first time. And I would say, be gentle. Because my first time, it was also the other person's first time. I'll just say be gentle. And, I wasn't slamming it, right, that my first time, but I don't know that I knew. I just don't know that I knew, like, how gentle you should be. I think, like, even with someone that's not a virgin, like, you gotta warm up, right? You gotta warm up and basically let them guide it. I think until you're in a situation where you know that that's not what they want, right? And I don't ask questions. That's not hot. But like, if you don't know that they want to be fucked and fucking pumped and slammed, you know, don't do that. Don't just do that as your style. If you don't know that, I would go gentle and smooth and low key and cool until they start saying shit like, fuck me, you pussy, you know, like, fuck me, you fucking pussy bitch. What are you doing? Fuck me, slam me, choke me, pull my hair, that kind of shit. You gotta wait until they start to make requests, you know? Like a wedding band. Not the physical, you know, structure, circular structure. I mean like a band at a wedding that people are making requests to. Wait until she starts making requests. But until then, be gentle. Because you can hurt them, bro. That's what I would do. But thanks, Paul. That was gay of you to ask me. Ricey, and I only know of one Ricey, and it is him. He says, when are you going to get Ricey back on for a Crime of the Week segment? The answer to that would be never, Ricey. The Crime of the Week is not a segment idea for the Welcome to the Potty podcast. This is a podcast about movies. We can do crime film of the week maybe, but I don't know if we've got time for that. That's a lot of, like, we'd have to watch whatever movie we're watching plus a crime film, which is two movies, which I can't commit to. Even though I did three this week, but, you know, we had a break of a week. Anyway, no. You can come back on the show and we can discuss a movie, potentially. How many viewers can you bring? Why would I get you back on the show? There needs to be something on offer here, right? Yeah. Can't just be having Joe Blow on the show. You understand? So when you have a deal like Ted Sarandos does for the Welcome to the Potty podcast, then we'll talk. If you got a deal, if you can bring someone else with you maybe that's of note, that's going to bring us some more listeners, then you can come back and we'll talk about a movie. And we got one more here from Ollie. From Ollie, he says, I make 40K a year but want to make 100. Any advice, bung bung? yeah, some advice would be get a new job. Whatever you're getting paid 40K in right now, that's a lot of pay rises before you get to 100, bro. That's a lot of pay rises. You know, I think this year people are giving out like, you know, 2 to 6% pay rises if you get one in this economy. So good effing luck with that. You maybe go study something, get more skills in something, start your own business. Do stuff that's not what you're doing right now. I don't know what you do right now. That was a pretty hard question for you to ask me, dude. I don't know who you think I am. I make about 40K a year, okay? Well, that's what it feels like anyway. You know, a fucking head of lettuce is costing me $8. So, you know, what I'm making isn't getting much further than what 40K would get me anyway. I would just say, if you're focused on your day job, on your career, you probably have a better idea of what that looks like than I do, right? What does 100K look like in your profession? Work backwards from there, okay? So if 100K in your profession is like a, you know, GM, that's probably a bit low for a GM, but let's say a some type of like operations manager or whatever. How do you get there? What kind of knowledge do you need? Is that internal knowledge in the business? Can somebody pass that down to you or direct you to where you can get that knowledge? Is there courses that you can do? Or is it technical knowledge that you can be learned on the job? Is it whatever the type of knowledge is where you got to go back to the books? You got to go study, you got to go back to university, you got to get a master's, you got to get a doctorate, you know? Work backwards from the goal, man. What does 100K look like in your profession? Then work backwards. That would be my advice, doggy. You know what it is, man. It's claymcmathcomedy.com for all my dates and merch. It's the Welcome to the Potty podcast on everything. Follow it, tell a friend to tell a friend, rate and review it 5 stars. Make sure you guys love yourselves, surround yourselves with positive people, inspiring people, motivating people, people that make you want to be better, especially you, Ollie. And if you have those type of people around you, you can ask them for advice, seek advice from them, seek guidance, seek inspiration, seek motivation. Seek stick-to-itiveness. Stick to it. The more you quit, the more you lose. All right? Keep going. Everybody, treat yourselves well. Love yourselves. All right? I love you. Don't forget to love yourselves. And as always, bung bung.